This Christmas season, we're focusing on hope. And it's the hope that's offered in Jesus Christ. And so far, let me give you a little recap where we've been. We started off looking at Mary. Mary dealt with shifted hope. And she had a preferable future. It was a great future. Marriage, raising kids, you know, the normal Jewish way. And then she had to set her hope fully on Jesus. A different plan emerged. Then we looked at Joseph. Joseph was dealing with his fears about marrying her when, you know, all of that had changed in his life as well. And so then he set his hope fully on Jesus. Today, we're going to look at hope through the perspective of the shepherds. Let me warm you up a little bit here with a question. I'd love some participation. It's hard with the masks. Clearly, it's hard with you at home because I can't see you at all. So here's my question. Who needs some renewed hope today? Anybody? I'm just going to say I need some renewed hope, some fresh hope, something a little boost there. Listen, hope is a focus. It's not just a feeling. You may feel helpless, but you don't have to be hopeless, right? Christmas is all about bringing renewed hope because hope has a name. See, God could have simply stayed in heaven and shouted his love to us from a distance. God could have, again, stayed in heaven and just drawn out his message in the stars so that people could see it and then understand it. God could have given his love to people who earned it. He did none of those. Instead, he showed us his love by Jesus Christ coming to earth. And this can give us renewed hope. So, regardless of the challenges you're facing today, this is what we're going to talk about. So would you bow your heads? Let's pray to the Lord right now, ask him to teach us, and then we're going to dive into God's word. So Jesus, we want to just acknowledge with honesty, we need you today. We need your truth. We need the renewed hope that you bring, the eternal perspective that you bring to our lives. We need everything you bring. And so would you meet us today? Like, overwhelm us and surprise us right now, I ask you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to jump into this passage here, Luke chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 8. The situation is this. Right after Jesus was born, right? You ready? Right after that, verse 8 happens. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is God's holy word. All right, we're going to attack this passage today with three questions to help understand what is going on here. First question, what were the shepherds hoping for on that night? Second question, why were the shepherds the first to be told about Jesus' birth? Third question, what did the shepherds get instead? They were hoping for something. What'd they get instead? Let's take the first question. What were they hoping for? Now, before I just tell you the answer, I want to describe the shepherds' lives and how they lived. The shepherds lived as a gypsy encampment outside Bethlehem. They were a shunned minority in their culture. Because their profession, because of that, they were the way they worked the animals and they lived outside and such, they were not able to follow the orthodox rituals for washing and cleansing, which meant they could not go to the worship services. Then, because they were untrained in the Old Testament law, they were considered ignorant. And then third, because they didn't have family ties within the community, they were considered suspect. History tells us that this group of shepherds would have spent the night atop a stone tower 1,000 paces from the city limits of Bethlehem. A couple of them would have been keeping watch over their flock at night while the rest of them were huddled around a fire to keep warm. Jewish tradition adds that this tower overlooked a very special flock of sheep, sheep that were set aside for temple sacrifices. So, although not important or prestigious men, they were careful and particular with their sheep. The sheep that they watched had to be perfect, without any spot or any blemish for the temple sacrifices. If a sheep were to break a limb or get scarred scratches and such on their skin, they would not be acceptable for temple sacrifices. They could still sell the sheep for food, but that would bring a much, much lower payout, basically. So these shepherds, they made more money if they were able to keep their sheep perfectly safe. As a result, they took their job very seriously. So let's go back to the question, what were the shepherds hoping for? They were hoping for a big payday. That's what they were hoping for. See, they didn't have much else. You know how life, we often talk about life being like on a pathway, and then you come to a fork in the road. So the shepherds, they missed the pathway to education. They missed the pathway toward power and influence. They missed the pathway to any job that would have given them respectability. They could not go back. Their entire lives were structured around big paydays. As they would watch the lambs, keep them perfectly safe, and then they'd watch them for weeks and weeks and months, and then the big payday comes when they were able to sell them for temple sacrifices. I think that's pretty normal and relatable. Most Americans hope for a big payday. In fact, a big payday could change the reality that most Americans live with, which is a dynamic of living paycheck to paycheck. So man, a big payday, oh, that could actually get us ahead. That could actually give us a little cushion. So it's normal for people to focus a lot of hope on a big payday. That's what the shepherds were hoping for, and maybe that's one of your hopes this Christmas season. So that's what the shepherds were hoping for. Second question, why were they the first to hear about Jesus' birth? You would think that the entrance of the King of Kings into like space and time would be accompanied by influential people, right? Rich people, merchants, the ruling class, the movers and the shakers, at least the religious elite. I mean, Jesus was a religious leader. That's probably the way we would do it because that's the way the world works. It would make strategic sense to get the most influential people around so they could spread the news and then build a following, right? There's a lot of talk today in our world about building a following. The people that do that are called influencers. A lot of teenagers want the job of being an influencer. When I was a teenager, we didn't have, that wasn't a job actually. You had another job and you had influence because of the job you had. Now there's a whole new occupation, influencer. You guys familiar with this? So they build a reputation, they have some expertise, they make regular posts on whether it be YouTube, Instagram, those are two of the popular ones, and they generate this large following. People like what they post about, and then here's why companies love it. because all of those followers are going to spend all their money on the things that the influencers say are so amazing, right? So if Jesus was born today and he had a meeting with the experts, they would tell God, well, you need to announce this to some influencers. You need to invite them to the birth. Let them do some videos. They can post some things, do some photos, and then they can help you build your following. That's not how God did it. Instead, I mean, it's ludicrous, really, when you compare like what God did to what we would do today. Instead, God chose men who were on the fringe of society. Nobody respected them. Nobody followed them. Nobody cared about the shepherds. And yet God said, this is who's going to be invited first to the birth of the King of all kings. Why? Why do that? Let me invite you into my mind. Was that intentional or was that accidental? These are the questions that I ask when I'm pondering the things that I read in Scripture. Did the angel of the Lord step out of heaven into time and space thinking that he was going to Herod's palace and then step out of heaven into the reality floating up in the sky and look down and think to himself, uh-oh, I'm on the wrong spot. I'm not supposed to be in a field with a bunch of shepherds. I'm supposed to be with royalty. Angelic choir, don't come out. We're in the wrong spot, wrong address. Right? Did the angels accidentally announce Jesus' birth to the shepherds? What do you think? No way, right? It's impossible. God doesn't make mistakes. And when he sends his angels on errands, they don't make mistakes either. God intentionally set the angels to the shepherds to make a point. God was sending a message. You don't have to be good on your own because God is good enough for you. But you do have to be humble enough to believe the good news. The shepherds were told first because God offers eternal hope of salvation to everyone. You don't have to be important, rich, powerful. You don't have to have it together. See, God's message was and it continues to be, come as you are. I came to save the hurting, discouraged, addicted, adulterous, and demon-possessed. I came to save the convict, the cheat, the liar, the hypocrite, the murderer, the doubter, the insecure, and the confused. I came for those who do not have it all together. I mean, come on. That's got to bring some renewed hope today, right? You can just kind of shake your head like this. You don't have to get super crazy. Just you kind of nod your head. That's good hope. That's renewed hope right there. And here's why. When we are totally honest with ourselves, none of us thinks that we've actually got it all together. None of us. You think other people think they have it all together? They don't. Nobody thinks that. Everybody looks at their life and they think, oh, I see, yeah, that broken relationship, that regret, that mistake, that path that I think I missed that path, that path that I feel like I missed, the struggle with finding purpose and meaning in your days. Everybody has that. So for anyone then who would just come to Jesus with a humble heart, ready to follow, Jesus will transform you. It doesn't matter. And see, a renewed hope then will grow within and then start to burst out. That's what happened with the shepherds, and that can happen with us as well. So, right? The shepherds were hope. They were, first off, the shepherds were just minding their own business, doing their job, hoping for the big payday. but God had something better for them. Right? So there's a second question. That's why God came to the shepherds first. Third question, what did the shepherds get instead? So I'm contrasting this to the big payday they wanted. Instead of the big payday, what did they get instead? Well, they got a better, perfect lamb is what they got instead. So let me explain it. Imagine this night. You know, it was a normal night. The sun drops in the sky. The temperatures start to drop as well. The night sky is filled with the stars and the moon. It's quiet. It's calm. You know, you've got the bleats of the lambs, and you can smell the lambs. You know, they're out. These are shepherds. You know, they live outside. Suddenly, right, the curtain of night is parted, and an angel comes out, spilling the glory of heaven all over the place, and the shepherds were terrified. So the angels. First words were words of comfort. Says, hey, fear not. I bring you good news of great joy. A Savior has been born. Man, good news. Everybody likes good news. And 2020 has been stingy with it, hasn't it? Good news has the power to transform a moment. It makes everything that's dull and difficult easier to handle. Good news brings hope. I mean, just think about your own life and your own experiences for a moment. What's the best news you have ever heard? The best news. It could have been the message, your cancer is gone. It could have been the message, after some kind of a tragedy happened and you're in that horrible waiting period and finally the text message or the phone call comes, everyone is okay. It could be the news, you have been accepted. The offer letter is coming. Good news. It could have been that moment where you finally got up the courage. Well, you didn't get the courage yet. Hold on, that's the second part. You finally, somebody said to you this message, will you marry me? And you just thought, oh, this is the best news I've ever heard in my life. Or it could be the flip side where someone said back to you, yes, I will marry you, right? Good news right there. See, good news has a way of shifting us from our normal hopes over to a better hope. And for the shepherds, this news of a Savior's birth was a much better hope than the hope of a big payday. This news was so good, it compelled them to go with haste, is what the verse says. Meaning they went running to find Jesus. This is a bit of a comical scene in my imagination, right? You've got these shepherds. They're supposed to be working. Some of them probably have been woken up. Now they're running through the pitch dark wilderness outskirts of Bethlehem. Now they're running all through this little town of Bethlehem. It's dark. They weren't told where to go to find. The message was, you'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. It's not a very, I mean, that would never pop up on your phone for directions, would it? So here's these guys just running all over Bethlehem in the dark trying to find this baby. And after they saw Jesus on their way back to work, they were shouting praise to God as their hearts were overflowing. One encounter with Jesus changed their lives because they experienced eternal hope in Jesus Christ. And you know, my goal through all of these sermons here in December is by looking at this, the story of the Christmas, what we call the Christmas story, right? The birth of Jesus Christ. My goal is that by looking at these truths, that God would bring that eternal hope to you in a very fresh and a very powerful way. Let's think about how meeting Jesus brought expanded perspective to the hardships of life that the shepherds would have experienced over the future of their life. So let's just say, right, they've got 10 sheep in their whole herd of sheep that get their skin scratched up with a bunch of thorns, right? Now the big payday is going to be 10 sheep less. But because they've met the eternal hope of Jesus, hey, that's okay. How about if the Roman officials send a new Herod to rule over Judea and he's a harsh tyrant? Hey, that's okay because we have met and experienced eternal hope in Jesus Christ. Interestingly, 33 years after this encounter, the need for perfect lambs in temple sacrifices is going to change. Eventually, shepherds are watching over perfect lambs, that occupation is going to be obsolete because the temple is going to be destroyed in 70 AD and nobody's going to need perfect lambs anymore for sacrifices. But in 33 AD, when Jesus Christ died on the cross as the perfect lamb who willingly died to take away the sins of the world, the need for perfect lambs, it changed. Did people still need perfect lambs to sacrifice in the temple system? They did, but not as many people were using them because a lot of people started to look to Jesus Christ as the perfect lamb who was sacrificed for them. So it's interesting that the very occupation of these shepherds at some point is going to change. And because the shepherds had experienced Jesus and the eternal hope that he brings, like they can have the same attitude that we can have when hardship comes. Hey, that's okay. Because I know Jesus. See, every aspect of their lives is given new perspective because Jesus offered them eternal hope instead of the hopes that they had laid out in their lives. So how could this relate to you and to me? It relates in this way. No matter the shift that happens in your normal hopes, no matter the difficulties or the disappointments that you're facing, eternal hope is still available to you, regardless. Let me tell you a way that this is very real for myself and my family right now. We're dealing with a great disappointment in our extended family. My dad normally brings crazy fun and exuberance to the Christmas season. Christmas has been my dad's favorite holiday basically forever. He loves to buy crazy expensive gifts. He loves to basically shower his love and affection on his family during the Christmas season. But my dad is no longer that man. Dementia has reduced him to a confused, scared, and quiet person. So when I fly to Texas at the end of this week, we'll stay with my sister and her kids. They're all teenagers just like mine. And Christmas is going to be very different for us this year. Probably different in a negative way. Because my dad's not going to want to come over to my sister's house. And if we can persuade him to come, within 5 minutes, he will be saying, I want to go back home. I don't want to be here. I don't like it here. And you would think, well, then just take him home. I've thought that. Yeah, you take him back to his apartment, and then he says, I want to go home. We don't even know. There's all kinds of interpretations of what home means to him at this point. Look, this is a change that's beyond any of our control. Just like the shepherds' lives were changed out of their control, right? Just like all of our lives will continue to change, my family's life is changing, right? So will we allow the great disappointments to ruin us? See, that's our choice. We can either allow our disappointments to win the day and steal our joy, or we can choose to focus on the eternal hope that Jesus brings us. And see, you have that choice. I have that choice. My family, we have that choice as we enter into this holiday week. What will you focus on this Christmas? See, Jesus is not hiding from us. Jesus is completely available, offering salvation and eternal hope to anyone who will turn to him. And here's the beauty of it. It's regardless of the circumstances that we're facing in our lives. And this is why eternal hope is found in Jesus Christ. See, if 2020 has beat you down a bit, if 2020 has beat down some people you love a bit, you might describe this as being a dark year. Troubles are often described as darkness in the Bible. And the eternal hope of Jesus is a light that shines into the darkness. So let's end this time. I just want to show you some verses about how the light of Jesus brings hope. I'm going to run through these verses fairly quickly, but hang with me. You'll get the big idea here. In Psalm 76:4, it says of God, "You are radiant with light." Psalm 104:2, "The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment." John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." First John 1:5, it says, "God is light. In him there is no darkness at all." Revelation 21 is describing the new heaven and the new earth at the end of time, and it says this, "And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb." That Lamb, that's the perfect Lamb of Jesus. And this gives us an insightful background to understand Luke 2, when the scene is describing the light of the world entering the darkness, right? Luke 2:8, we already read it, but look what it says. "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night." It's a dark scene, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, but it does not stay dark because the light of the world brings eternal hope. That's what it says. Then literally the next verse, as the angel is saying, the glory of the Lord shining around the angel, they're all filled with great fear, and the angel says, "Fear not. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior is born." See, no matter what kind of darkness you're facing today, Jesus offers you the light of eternal hope. Whatever darkness you're facing, whatever trouble, whatever confusion, whatever disappointment, whatever heartbreak, and if you'll turn to him, and if then you'll follow him, Jesus promises you in John 8:12 that you will never walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. Meaning, the darkness never needs to win over you again, ever. You can be like the shepherds who had eternal hope growing within them and then bursting out of them, regardless of what's happening in your life. Isn't that amazing? Do you know Jesus like this? If you know Jesus as your Savior, you've experienced him as the light and eternal hope before, and he can bring that to you and keep giving that to you as a gift every single day as you keep following him. And maybe today you can look back over your week or so, and you can identify a number of moments where you have been very discontented and grumpy and angry. You have not had hope. or joy? Well, my advice to you, which is I've done it myself this week, is to repent of that and turn back to Jesus again, fresh and new, and allow him to fill your heart with renewed hope. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior yet, you can, right? All you have to do is admit you're the Savior of the world, and I need a Savior. I can't figure out this stuff. It's beyond me. It's harder than I can handle. Clearly, I can't control it. So admit, I need a Savior. I believe that you are the Savior who came to earth to save me. Confess that he's the King of all kings and start following him today. And you will know hope like you have never known hope before as the light of the world enters your heart. And that's the amazing hope that we get reminded of today through Luke chapter 2. I love this so much because we all need some renewed hope. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray together, guys. Jesus, this becomes very real to us when we acknowledge and just point out the various ways that the world is dark. There is trouble in our personal lives. There's trouble in this world. And the salvation that you offer us allows us to freely acknowledge the hardships. So Lord, we just want to acknowledge whatever hardships we have in our lives today. We admit them because you bring your victory. You bring new perspective to whatever these hardships are. And so, Lord, we surrender them to you. We give them to you. And we ask, okay, Jesus, bring eternal hope to this. Bring your light to this. I welcome you to change my perspective on this. I will walk in faith as I go through this. And I will not be afraid, even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not going to be afraid. You're with me. You're comforting me. You're strengthening me. And I just say, Lord, I receive that because I receive you and I will walk with you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us so much that you came to earth to save us. We pray in your name. Amen.